What'd you do?
Well, I lost my temper and I took a knife and I, you know those little do not remove under the penalty of law labels they put on mattresses?
Yeah.
Well, I cut one of them off.
Gee.
Yeah, I got a real bad temper.
Boy, I always thought that was the dumbest law.
You said a mouthful.
Life can be so unfair.
You telling me?
We're going to tell you a few things before this Wednesday afternoon edition of TBTL is done. That's for darn sure.
I'm so excited about this show. It is weird. It is beautiful. It has a plot that goes in fascinating directions.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. Joining you from Kansas City, Missouri, home of hot wings and cold jazz.
Okay.
As everybody knows, my name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
Joining you from the sort of bizarrely lovable Hotel 816 here in the Westport neighborhood of Kansas City, MO. It is day three of the TBTL-a-thon, hitchhiking journey. Thumbs up for TBTL. Life is a highway edition. It's also the week that we are trying to raise money from you, the tens of listeners, to keep this thing going.
You want to do a make-believe radio show in a room somewhere. I'm telling you, there's no money in that.
If you saw us right now, you would think there is no money in this, because we are in a room somewhere. Andrew has fashioned a broadcast table from an ironing board. Actually, very, I would say, ingenious of you, my friend. But we are like this is a make-believe radio show in a room, if ever there was one. And yet, if we do want to be able to keep doing it, we need you, the tens of listeners, to go to tbtl.net this week and to donate to the show. We'll talk about the thank you gifts coming up. That is why we are making our way south from Minnesota down to Mississippi, where we're going to be doing a live show at listener Jamie's house on Saturday, Columbus, Mississippi. Yes, we did have to veer a little bit to the west yesterday. There's a lot of chatter on the internet about how we were taking a non-direct route to our destination. But that's the fun of it. That's the journey that we're on, everybody. Speaking of that journey, we are hoping that the weather is going to hold here in Kansas City so we can get out and do some hitchhiking here right after the show is posted. There are predictions of some thunderstorms.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
We're hoping that the heavy stuff will not come down while we're standing out there with our thumbs out. I'm also going to get a dry erase board today, so we will be able to write down our destination, which as of right now is Springfield, Missouri. We are lighting out for Springfield, Missouri coming up. Before that, though, we got to bring you episode 2666 in a collector series. Ooh, 666.
Oh, my God!
It's a little bit ominous, but we'll get through it. What do we want to talk about today? Well, we've got some news from right here in Missouri. A 71-year-old father and his adult son are both in jail after they got in a fight in Kirkwood, Missouri, with a person who accused them of cheating at Pokemon Go, raising so many questions, including people are still playing Pokemon Go, and people are apparently fighting people over alleged Pokemon Go cheating. So we'll bring you some news from right here in Missouri, and we will update you, of course, on all of our adventures, which I have to say, the listeners are very afraid for us, are very unimpressed with our tactical and mapping skills, but you got to admit, you're listening. I'm like the Sally Field of this podcarting. You listen to us. You really, really listen to us. And so we'll keep you posted on all of our adventures. First, though, we got to say hello to this young man. Where's the party at? It's wherever he is, baby.
Listen to this, because now I'm like trying to weigh in on a thing I didn't hear. Yay.
And that's exactly the kind of expertise he's going to bring to things, the longest running Cobro of the show. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins me now from across the ironing board. Hello, my dude.
Hey, man. I forgot my new catchphrase. Thank you for reminding me of it. What is it again?
Where's the party at? Wherever I am, baby.
And I got to say baby at the end. Where's the... Okay, so set me up.
All right. He's the longest running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. And he joins me right now from across this ironing board in room 413 at the hotel in Kansas City. He's Andrew Walsh.
Where is the party at? It is wherever.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
It is wherever I am, baby.
My new catchphrase is, my strategy is to play until my tushy hurts.
Which, wow, out of context.
I know.
So should we explain this?
No.
Let's just say we're having fun.
We stayed in Waterloo, Iowa at the Isle of Capri, a casino. And as I posted on Facebook, when you sort of were entering or leaving the parking area of this casino, they just had a series of promotional posters, which were, I would say, some of the worst promotional posters I have ever seen. A bunch of people, most of them kind of senior citizens, being wacky and just, I mean, the one that I thought was maybe the weirdest was the one where the woman is saying, I'll be on my best behavior when I leave.
Right.
Because if you take that out to its logical extension, that means you can be on your worst behavior at the casino.
But isn't that kind of a typical, I mean, isn't that like kind of the bar that Vegas set, like,
sure,
the whole, like,
and even Outback, no rules, just,
yeah,
right. I mean, think,
see,
about it. There are no rules in this Outback Steakhouse,
which is why so many people defecate in the booths there. It's horrible. I stopped going.
That's what they call a bloomin' onion.
Oh God! All right, we got to start the show over.
I cannot believe he just told that joke.
Hey, speaking of which, everything okay with you, bruh? Because I just went into the bathroom and
what?
I think your underwear's in the garbage.
Oh yeah.
Anything we need to talk about?
I'm okay now. Yeah, no, there's a t-shirt in the garbage and underwear. Yeah, no, I'm bringing all my, what I packed in my backpack for this adventure is all my oldest, grossest, like, as you know, I always wear white t-shirts underneath my button-downs all the time. So I took all my oldest, grodiest ones that are starting to, like, get, you know, gross under the armpits. I packed those up to wear on the adventure. My oldest pairs of underwear with the elastic getting too loose on them. And so I'm wearing them for a day on the road, then throwing them away. And each day my pack gets a little bit lighter.
That is so smart. You said somebody told you on, it was like an email or on Facebook or something, that was advice from fellow travelers.
I got it from Pesca.
Oh, right. Because he'll do that with a book. He will bring a book.
And underwear, though, I think. I think he talked about it on The Gist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How much does underwear really weigh, though?
Well, not much.
Like,
I mean,
we'll find out today when we go a-hitchin'.
Oh,
if you're just like, if you're sprinting down the road with your pack, yeah, just light as a feather, stiff as an Andrew. Why did I put Andrew there? It went from being uninteresting to being deeply troubling.
I say again, we have to restart the show.
In 3, 2, and hey, by the way, there is no good way to throw out underwear. Let's just be honest.
Not in a hotel.
No,
how you think about it.
Or anywhere, really. I mean, except that the garbage men don't see into the garbage bag.
Right.
But, like, yeah, definitely in a hotel. Like, you never see underwear in a garbage can and think, yeah, this was the plan. Although, interestingly, this was the plan.
This was the plan. Oh, socks, too. I've also got rid of a few pairs of, like, socks that were on their last leg. Yeah, you know what's really going to lighten my load, though, more than the few T-shirts, underwear, and socks I've thrown out along the way is, we finally ate, like, well more than half of that bag of, like, pepperoni sticks or whatever the hell were in my backpack. Those salt explosions. Those,
oh my God,
heart attacks in a meat casing that we were chowing down on the bus yesterday.
By the way, your new nickname is Heart Attack in a Meat Casing. Your wife's new nickname is Targus.
Wherever I am, baby, I'm getting into it. I'm warming up to it. We're getting
there. Ride Greyhound until my tushy's sore. Yeah, I have never looked forward to a pepperoni stick the way I was looking forward to one of those salt explosions yesterday. Mm. Because, obviously, most of you know this because you listened to yesterday's show, but we were in Waterloo, Iowa. We were going to try to go to Hannibal, Missouri. And by the way, listener Daniel, I believe it is, originally from Hannibal, Missouri. I'm so sorry, man, because on Facebook, Daniel was all excited that we were going to Hannibal. I wonder why his parents didn't name him Dannibal.
Hmm.
Dannibal from Hannibal?
Dannibal from Hannibal.
But Daniel was excited that we were going to be going down there and to his old hometown. And of course, we didn't make it because There were predictions of flash floods and thunderstorms and things that just seemed very dangerous. And so instead, we hatched a plan to jump on a Greyhound bus, which it turned out was not even a Greyhound bus. Even though we purchased it through the Greyhound website, we were on a Trailways bus from
Waterloo,
Waterloo to Des Moines with a few stops along the way. And then we switched in Des Moines to a Jefferson Bus Lines bus. And then made our way the rest of the way down here to Kansas City. And we did have some interesting sightings along the way. A restaurant in Marshalltown or Marshall. I think it's Marshalltown, Iowa, called Oh Hungry's.
It's so great.
Oh Hungry's. Weirdo name.
That was amazing. You took a picture of it and put it on your Facebook page. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Luke has a Facebook page again.
You know what's funny is there are a bunch of people, I guess, that kind of are in my Facebook universe but are not TBTL aware. And so people have been going, hey, good to see you back on Facebook. You know, like ants. And people are like, oh, you're back. And they have no idea that it's a limited engagement, Andrew.
I saw one that said, Luke, glad to see you here. You're up to your usual antics again or something like
and
that.
And that'd be accurate because this is now becoming the once a year that I dip back into Facebook for a week and do the eagle soaring, by the way. I had a little sore here in Kansas City.
You had a little sore?
Yeah.
God. Is that why your underwear's in the
stiff
bathroom?
Stiff as an Andrew.
This show is not appropriate.
In 3, 2, and 1.
What a fun, sexy time for you.
So we jumped on the Greyhound, by which we mean the Trailway and the Jefferson Transit buses, and we got down here. I will say, when we got to the station here in Kansas City, and we were sort of rode hard and put away wet at that point, right? Like we had been on the buses for a good. I mean, we've been traveling for 10 or 11 hours between sitting and waiting and on the buses. The first bus, by the way, was a dream. It was a nice bus. It was not very packed. We each had our own row.
There were power outlets in it, and since we didn't have anybody sitting next to us, we each had two power outlets, which was doubly
it was just
nice.
Great. And we're just kind of cruising through Iowa. It was actually very beautiful. And back to why I was longing for one of those pepperoni sticks. We had to hustle to the bus station, and of course they don't sell any food on the bus. And so what I noticed is everybody that was filling in the Waterloo Greyhound station was bringing their own food because you have to. There was one sad vending machine in the back, which I spent probably $10 on just like miscellaneous junk snacks out of there. And I thought, this is all we're going to have for the next 8 to 10 hours of our life, which did not turn out to be the case. They made a stop across from Oh Hungry's. Across from Oh Hungry's, there's another traditional Irish restaurant, McDonald's, maybe Scottish, and we went there, so we were fine. But when we got on that first bus, I was like famished and thought we were looking at hours of no food access, and it was all I could do, Andrew, and I say this with peace and love, to not basically try to knock you out with my laptop and steal your entire bag of delicious pepperoni sticks, because that was the main food. Even though I'd bought some junk food, that was the main sustenance we had. And you at one point said, do you want to hold the bag? And I said, I can't trust myself with the bag. It was like two men at sea and we had rations, and it was like, do you want to guard the rations? And then you wake up in the morning and I've eaten all the rations
and my leg below the knee is missing with teeth marks.
Well, yeah, it turned into a cartoon ham
future, you know, things didn't get weird, but in the future, if you have that thought, I'll just start with asking. Start with asking me if you can have the whole bag, because there's a chance I'm not even that hungry, and I'll be like, sure, of course, and I'll get one at the next stop, and then you save me from being knocked out by your laptop. You'd save your laptop from possibly getting an Andrew-sized dent in it.
Yeah, that's probably voids the warranty.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was very thankful that you had thought to bring that along. And it was an adventurous time on the bus. It was interesting. It was when we got here to Kansas City, as I already mentioned, we were met by some lovely tens of listeners who had just basically organized on the fly, because of course we weren't supposed to be in Kansas City. It was Kristen, Stephanie, and Aaron. Aaron, I believe, started the night as an 11.
We got him to a 10.5,
but ended as a 10. They came in and met us at the bus station and picked us up, which was super duper sweet. And we were telling them all about this last night, the kind of the culture, at least on this these couple of buses that we were on was really interesting to me because, you know, this was not like I was comparing it to like I've taken Bolt buses in the Northwest many a time, like from Seattle to Portland when I'm doing Livewire. And Bolt buses are usually being taken by people who have options, and the option they've chosen is the Bolt bus. It has Wi-Fi. It seems to be mostly being used by people who could do something else, but they're choosing to do this. This bus, particularly the one that left from Waterloo, was mostly being used by people who it appeared to be sort of the only option. There were people that were moving. I mean, they had all their worldly possessions that were just kind of in random bags.
Sometimes wrapped up in sheets.
Yeah, there was a guy who had stuff in a sheet. Like, it was a borderline bindle.
It was. It was a bindle without a stick.
Yeah. I mean, but what even is a bindle without a stick?
That's a really it's a bag. Good question. Yeah.
So, you know, I'll be honest with you, sitting in that station, in that bus station, it was a little out of my comfort zone just because I'm very spoiled and super privileged, and I travel hack every moment of my life. And now we're just sitting in a bus station, and there's a lot of people around me who aren't people I would tend to, my life wouldn't overlap with their life a ton. And then we get on the bus, and to watch, I don't want to get into this kind of like paternalistic, you know, oh, the integrity of people who are financially on the margins. But I will tell you, the people on that bus were looking out for each other in a way, you pointed this out last night, in a way that doesn't happen on the airplane. I'll tell you what, when I get upgraded to first class, there is no honor among the first class people. If there's five entrees that are the good entrees, they're getting ordered by, nobody's like, oh, would you like to have it? It's everybody's out for themselves. On this bus, it was like this kind of, no one wanted to be there.
Exactly. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to Disneyland and I might be, you know, a couple of hours late and therefore I feel like I'm going to take it out in the world. Like, nobody was just like going on vacation on this bus. Nobody wanted to be on the bus. And I think that's what the difference was. Like, me personally, I told you this last night, the experience of that bus, as uncomfortable as it was at times, especially on the second bus, which was just crowded to the hilt, and I was sweating.
The Mariners were losing.
But I will say, I think that I would add hours to a trip. Like, let's say I had a 5-hour flight or a 9-hour bus ride. I think I would take the 9-hour bus ride. I enjoyed that so much more because part of it did have to do with the fact that nobody wanted to be there, so therefore we were all in it together, as opposed to the entitledness of yes. when you're on a plane. Like, now, if the person in front of me had put their seat back, which you can do in a bus, and I don't know that I would have felt as generous towards my fellow man. But like, that was a crowded ass bus that was hot, and nobody wanted to be there. But in a certain way, I liked everybody more because everybody was honestly looking out for each other.
When we finally got to Kansas City, we were getting off the bus, and it was bizarre to me because when you get off an airplane, like, everybody is just rushing off of that plane. And if you hesitate for a moment, people just barge past you. You just get, like, trapped on the side of this river of people mm-hmm. leaving the airplane. I had, like, my bag was, like, a few rows back from where I was actually sitting. And so I was waiting. And I had probably 3 or 4 people go, like, oh, do you want me to get your bag? And one guy, I had to, like, actively talk him out of getting my bag down because it was smashed in there, like... It was going to be a hassle to get it out, but it was just this kind of, there was a human.
Well, he was trying to steal it, though.
Well, I mean, you know.
You had to hit him. That's why you hit him with your laptop.
Right. That's
him
my
out
move.
And took his meats.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the laptop assault at? Wherever I am, baby. There was a camaraderie on that thing. And like the couple that was moving, they had a young baby and the other passengers, because we went like 2 or 3 stops with them. We had some changeovers. And I noticed the other passengers just like, without even discussing it, just carrying their luggage for them.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
Because they had tons of stuff. They were taking a bus all the way to Arizona.
Yeah.
From Waterloo, Iowa. These people with a baby. How old was that baby?
Maybe a year or something.
Tops, right? Yeah. And just they're carrying luggage that is, one thing is just a big, huge box of unopened diapers because yeah. they're going to need it on the way. Like, and just
I used one of those diapers during a particularly long stretch. It was cool.
Till your tushy hurt.
Yeah. That's when you know it's too much.
And it was such unwieldy stuff. You know, we're not talking roller bags here. Yeah, we're just talking about these people apparently kind of moving their life in one day all the way to Arizona. I mean, we thought we had a long ride, man.
Yeah.
And,
we were the lucky ones because you would hear chatter like, where are you going? People were going to Shreveport. People were going to Dallas. Like, we got off that bus at like 9:30 or 10 at night. And I was like, if I never get on another bus again, it's fine with me. There were people that were going another 12 hours. Mm-hmm. And like, what I thought was also interesting was the couple that was moving, they were African American, and what I noticed was this white, like, I don't know, 20-year-old girl who was just like, had, without even saying anything, just started carrying their stuff. And then I saw other people started carrying their stuff, and it was like there was just this kind of almost, again, I'm not trying to overly idealize this bus of racial harmony, but I just felt like there was, you know, people of different races and different ages were just interacting in this kind of shared experience of like, yeah, we're all kind of just trying to fucking survive this shit. And I don't even mean the bus, I mean life.
Right.
And it was kind of, it was like, it was actually really cool to see. I don't know why this is making me emotional, but you know what I think it is? It's that the donations have been so low to the show. No, you know,
I got a note from Emily that said a little bit more tears would probably open up those pocketbooks more.
You know what? You know why I think it makes me emotional is because, and I talk about this on the show a lot, I am so selfish. And like, I spend so much of my time trying to totally just carefully like cultivate and curate my experience in every situation. And I've been talking about this a little bit on this trip, just like even our like half hour of hitchhiking was a moment where I was like, God, this feels horrible because I don't like this and I can't like make this not be this way.
And it's been 25 minutes.
Exactly. You know? And I think on the bus, it was just like, it was really just really good for me to remember that it's okay to not be comfortable all the time. And that there are a lot of people who are living a lot of their life in a lot of discomfort in one, you know, fashion or another. And by the way, we're not even talking about the shit at the border, which is like a whole, I mean, that's what we should all probably be crying about 24/7. So I don't know. It was just a really, it was a really good thing for me to get to be a part of and be around. It was an adventure. So
do you know though, if yesterday's trip added to your miles at all? Like, how does that fit into the Alaska Airlines?
I was thinking about that because you asked what the like frequent Greyhound riders are called. And I think I said the old gray mares, which isn't good.
Yeah.
I thought later, you know, because the Greyhound is a dog, I thought maybe they could be called Dogs the Value Hunters. I thought about that. I have a lot of
wow.
I know,
wherever I am, baby.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. I'll compose myself, and then we'll come back, and we'll tell you about the TBTL-a-thon gifts that you can receive if you sponsor the show, and then we'll hopefully do some top stories, and we have some V-mails that we can actually get to because we're in a stable location here with an ironing board as our broadcast table, so we should be able to play those and just bring you the merriment that is a Wednesday afternoon edition of TBTL, live and direct from the city of fountains, Kansas City, MO.
Who knew?
A listener, Kristen, is who knew. She told me last night. She did. You see what she wrote on Facebook?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I posted my little eagle soaring today. Now you're right. When I say soar, that sounds gross.
I got a little eagle sore.
Does this eagle sore look infected to you? When Kristen was giving us a ride from the Greyhound station, I was commenting on the fountains. She said, "Yeah, you know that this is the city of fountains." And so I put that in my little write-up today on Facebook, and then Kristen popped in and said, I taught him that, so does that mean that I'm his fountain mommy? I'll just see my way out, or something to that effect.
Well, you were really resistant to the TBTL daddy thing, but that thing has taken off. People are embracing TBTL daddyhood and mommyhood.
Not since Twitter have I been more wrong about an idea, right? Famously, I met one of the guys who was starting Twitter when he was starting it, and I just thought, this is the biggest load of BS. And now my whole life revolves around it. So anyway, quick break and then back with more TBTL.
I'm the king of Kansas City. No thanks, Omaha. Thanks a lot. Kansas City star. That's what I are. You're the little daddy. You're the same car. Drop a big old Cadillac with one wheel.
All right, a little Roger Miller for you. Let's talk a little bit, Andrew, about the plan here, where we are at. So, we on Monday, just to refresh everybody's memories, we got a ride almost all the way to Waterloo from our friend Nora McInerney and our other friend Steve the River Boy Newman. We did have to hitchhike from Denver, Iowa, which we found out later was about 20 miles down to Waterloo. We were picked up by a 16-year-old gal named Cassie, who seemed pretty cool and calm and collected when we were riding with her. But then what we found out from the listeners was moments after dropping us off, she was Instagramming pictures of herself about how she picked up two hitchhikers and they didn't murder her.
She's making a funny face with her tongue sticking out. She's like, I just picked up two hitchhikers with that, you know, Instagram sticker thing. She's like, and I'm still alive, or they didn't murder me.
They didn't murder me, yeah. I believe was the yeah. was the term she used. So that was our only foray into hitchhiking so far, because then we got up in Waterloo. The weather forecast seemed actually dangerous, not just uncomfortable, but maybe dangerous. So we jumped on the buses. Here we are in Kansas City. The weather looks like it's going to cooperate with us now. Like, there were some reports of possible thunder showers. That seems to be diminishing a little bit. So we, even on the bus yesterday, we're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of Kansas City and get towards Springfield, Missouri, our next destination? One of the things that we thought to do was maybe get a ride share. So you went on Reddit and like posted an ad for us or something. Is it still up?
I'll tell you what. There is a Reddit. There's a subreddit for everything. So I went on a subreddit called Rideshare, and I don't have the post in front of me right now because why would I? I had it and then my phone closed.
Well, let me mention that I tried to go on Craigslist.
Oh yeah.
And like see if anybody was driving to Springfield, Missouri. They weren't. I tried to post something, but it's weirdly hard to post on Craigslist because, for reasons that are too boring to get into, I couldn't figure out the category, how I could. What it made me sad was Craigslist is full of insane people. I don't mean like clinically. I just mean like a bunch of weirdos, and they know how to post on Craigslist and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was sitting there. I was like, it's not job wanted. It's not a farm equipment for sale. I couldn't find the category of can you drive us to Springfield? Mm-hmm. And I was so mad at myself because I was like, how did these dinguses figure it out? And I couldn't.
Yeah, I had trouble too where to post in Reddit. I ended up posting in a place called Gone Wild. no, there's a subreddit called subreddit Rideshare. And here's what I posted. Subject line, Kansas City, Missouri to Springfield or Memphis. Two podcasters on a cross-country adventure looking for a ride on 6/20, that's today, starting in Kansas City, Missouri, headed east. We're trying to make it to Springfield or as far as Memphis tomorrow. Where's the party? Wherever I am, baby.
See, that's what's hurting us.
I added that last.
Oh, good. Okay, because that would definitely be a big turn. Has anybody responded?
No, I got one like, though. I don't know who liked this thing and didn't want to.
Can you look at their account? And I don't know how Reddit works.
It's very anonymous.
Illegally streaming baseball games. I don't.
It's just like you get just like kind of an arrow.
Oh, you got an upvote.
You can't see who. An upvote.
Somebody upvoted that.
Yes. Boy, our listeners who are actually Redditors are annoyed by all of the terminology I just
use. I am amazed that Reddit, because by the way, I remember when I was a talk show producer, Reddit, and like maybe even when I was at KVI, I used to look for stories on FARC.com.
Oh, yeah, FARC.
And then Reddit.
God.
And like, how is it that Reddit was, it's such a simple program, but I would have never predicted that Reddit was going to be, like, was going to win out amongst, like, the communities, you know what I mean? Like, and just to be a place that generates so much of the stuff that gets into our sort of culture and conversation now.
Yeah.
I just would not have predicted Reddit would be the place for it.
FARC is still up and running, by the way.
All right, we put up an ad or whatever, a thing on Reddit. No responses, one upvote, that's good.
Yeah, trending, right?
So I think the plan right now, correct me if I'm wrong, is when we're done with this and when the show's up on the internet, we are gonna try to find the on ramp to the freeway that or the highway that heads. I think it's gonna be a freeway though. By the way, that's gonna be our fastest bet. We have to figure out an access point to get on the road heading towards Springfield. We need to.
It's east, so we basically need to head southeast, right?
Well, Earth face east.
Earth face east, right?
So we're definitely gonna get a sign. And do we write Springfield or Memphis on the sign? Because to be honest with you, if somehow we got to Memphis today, which would be really shooting the moon, that would be so great for a couple of reasons. One, we would actually be ahead of schedule, which would take a little pressure off us, in the next couple of days. And two, a listener whose name escapes me at the moment, I think Facebook messaged us or put it on Facebook or Twitter or something that there is a minor league baseball team in Memphis that is supposed to be awesome, and they have a home game on Thursday night.
That'd be cool.
We got to get to Memphis by Thursday night, bruh.
We're skipping over something that I've been meaning to ask you about for real. At one point...
Are we going to go to Branson, Missouri and see Yakov Smirnoff? Yes, we are.
All right, good. Nearing the end of this very long, at this point, sweaty bus ride... you and I, by the way, on the second leg, we are not sitting in the same row. Bus is completely full. You and I are both on aisle seats. You're sitting directly behind me. And you lean kind of forward to me and you say, I've been researching how to ride the rails.
Oh, yeah.
I just nodded like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then I put my headphones back in and just pretended for a while that I didn't hear that.
You just activated the silent alarm to have the Greyhound police take me away because I'd clearly lost my mind.
Tell me, were you not joking, though, I take it. What were you researching? How did this
There's transpire? Some kind of website that's called, like, Planet Squat or something. Okay. It's for, you know... It's like probably for like kind of gutter punk types, you know, people who would ride the rails and just kind of live at the margins of what we consider to be normal society. And I was just honestly racking my brains. I was like, for one thing, I think we're getting lucky in that the weather is sort of cooperating now.
Yeah, it's holding off.
But yesterday, it was looking like the storm was moving with us from Waterloo down here to Kansas City. And so I was like, well, if we can't hitchhike tomorrow, what are we going to do? How are we going to continue this journey without just tapping out and getting a car or something? So I was like, I interneted free rides with truckers.
Anything which come up there?
Somebody who, like, it was an old forum. I think that's what got me onto one of these websites. There was an older forum where a trucker had said, hey, I'm driving this way, and if anybody needs a ride, you know, I'm offering. And then there was, and then I was looking around that, I didn't see anything. And then I was like, what about riding the rails? So I went on a website that was basically dedicated to teaching people how to ride the rails. And the takeaway is it's very dangerous and complicated if you don't know what you're doing. And more even than the danger of us, can you imagine you and me with these backpacks trying to jump?
No. And that's the thing. If you had pursued that further, I think I would have. I had major reservations about that because that's putting myself in physical harm. And one thing I do know about my life is when I'm hanging out with other boys and somebody wants to do a feat of physical daring do, I am the one who cannot get on top of the half pipe or whatever it is. Yes, this is about you, Tony. I am always the one who cannot, like, do the physical feat, and, like, I'm always stumbling at the end. And I'm like, I don't want to stumble and end up under the wheel of a train.
Yeah, no. That would be a bad outcome. Plus, I mean... You never know. The people that are already riding the train might be some tough customers. Also, you will super be arrested if they catch you in there. And also, we don't know where the trains are going.
I know.
You think the listeners are annoyed with us now because we took a Greyhound mildly in the wrong direction? Wait till we get on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, and it's heading out to friggin' Albuquerque. Like, we could seriously, or it starts going really fast. That was one thing a guy wrote. He's like, if you don't get on the right train and it goes fast, you can't get off
of it
until it's where it's going.
I mean,
we could be in South America.
Oh, my God.
So, but the other thing, too, by the way, just to take this to a more prosaic and boring level, indeed. I'm really shocked at how few bus routes and even train routes there are from where we are right now, Kansas City, to, like, Springfield, Missouri, and to Memphis. I assume this whole thing is just... I thought, well, look, worst comes to worst, we could always just probably jump on an Amtrak, like, pay for a ticket. No, you have to go via Chicago, like the Wilco song. It's a 12 or 17-hour journey where you have to go back up to Chicago, and half of it's buses, by the way. Hey, Amtrak, you need to get real with yourself. If we buy an Amtrak, it's one thing if you buy a Greyhound ticket and you're on a slightly different kind of bus. But when you buy an Amtrak ticket and it's all on half of it's on Amtrak throughway buses, nah. Okay, that's dirty pool as far as I'm concerned.
Because you associate the brand Amtrak so much with trains.
Yeah, because it's a train company, I think, is why I do that. It's like if you bought a
ticket. Well, I mean, clear, they're a transportation company.
If you bought a ticket on Delta and they were like, yeah, it's our Delta Thruway bus service, you'd be like, wait a minute. Don't you think?
Right, but I mean, I think that is you because you're thinking Amtrak. I mean, clearly they see themselves as a transportation company. I mean, I bet you if I go to Amtrak, does it say Amtrak Train Company?
I mean, I think this is a very. I don't think that they see themselves as a transportation company. I think that they are perpetually broke. I think that they don't serve nearly as many lines and and miles of track as they used to. And so one of the ways they're keeping this whole thing kind of taped together with chicken wire is bus service that probably, my guess would be, bus service that sort of fulfills what used to be fulfilled via rail. But that, I have no backing. I have no, like, well, research to back that up.
Let me, actually, I will back down on that because when you Google Amtrak and you see the results for their official site, you would click on a link that says Amtrak tickets, schedules, and train routes. It doesn't say bus and train routes. And then when you, the small little description, which I guess comes from Wikipedia, does say, actually, it's officially the National Railroad Passenger Corporation doing business as Amtrak. So you're 100% right. They're a train company.
But that being said, I was surprised that there – I just felt like this is the Midwest, right? This is like the land of huge train depots and – you know what I mean? Like I feel like there should just be a train leaving every 20 minutes.
That's funny.
On the 350 to Springfield.
I always think of trains as being very coastal. I always think of like the routes like up and down.
As a
like,
coastal elite.
Yeah, like I always think like Boston, New York, D.C., like that whole corridor, and then the West Coast corridor, of course, running along the coast. And then I sort of think north. I guess east-west a little bit up in the north.
See,
Chicago,
to me, it's like the trains were the things that – the first cross-country travel, I would imagine, after the stagecoaches was by rail.
Yeah.
So I always think of it, and you have like
east-west.
In Seattle, there would be these Amtrak lines. Like I think there was one called the Empire Builder that would go from Seattle to Chicago. And so I always kind of think of it as a cross-country
thing. Yeah, that makes sense because the trains went west. Yeah,
But this is what led me to like, you know, trying to figure out if we could hitch a ride with a trucker or if we could post on Craigslist or whatever, because I was like, if the hitchhiking doesn't work, we actually don't have a ton of good other options, if that makes any sense. Like even the bus, there is not a direct like Greyhound from here to Springfield, Missouri. It's some crazy, it's like 33 transfers. So anyway, we just got to hope that this hitchhiking thing works. How hopeful are you? How optimistic are you?
Well, let me actually instead say what my biggest anxiety is about hitchhiking now. We're going to make it to whatever freeway ramp we can right now with our packs on. And then I am concerned, like so far we've only gotten one ride, which is cool. I've hitchhiked. Yay. I got to stop saying
where's the
yay
party at?
Where's the party at? But that was for 20 miles. And one thing that I'm reminded of is that there is nothing between cities, right? And I'm worried that like if somebody comes along and says, okay, well, I can get you partway there to Springfield, we'll probably take it because, you know, step by step, we need to move in that direction.
Ooh, baby.
But then when they drop us off at some place that is like just the middle of nowhere, like a Denver, Iowa again, then will we be totally screwed? Or do we have to get all the way to like make sure that somebody can take us to another city proper?
My hope is that anybody who picks us up is going to somewhere that's not just a random side of the road soybean, you know, field. I'm with you. Like what is going to be challenging about this is I doubt that the first person who picks us up will be like, hey, I'm going to Memphis.
Yeah.
Hop in. So we will probably have to figure it out because they will probably say I'm going 35 miles down the road.
Right.
And we will say, okay, is that a populated area? Is that like, or is there somewhere that's 20 miles down the road that is populated where you can drop us off?
And we don't have a lot of time to negotiate with them. That's the thing, too. Like, when somebody pulls over, I think this is a key thing. As a matter of fact, I think I have an email that says this. I'll read a little bit later. But somebody who's done this before told us that a key thing is you do not lollygag. Like, do not give folks a chance to, like, change their mind.
Yeah.
Don't be futzing around grabbing all your stuff and repacking up your bag. Like, you sit there, your bag, you ready to go.
Yeah. And so, I want to tell you right now, if ZZ Top comes in the Eliminator and I'm getting in the car and you are taking even 1 second too long.
Digstown.
I'm leaving you behind, bro. I'm sorry. Right. That's just how it's going to be.
No, did we say this on the show yet? I think the number one rule that I've been thinking is we cannot split up.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
no.
If
absolutely
any,
not.
I mean, I think both of us are... We're not very street smart, but we're smart enough to know that if for some reason it seems like somebody is trying to split us up, that is a really bad.
What?
I mean, I don't know. I just have a. Have you ever been in a situation where you you know you're being swindled or somebody's trying to swindle you, like on the street. I'm thinking of one time when I was in Pittsburgh and like it's me, Genevieve, and a friend of ours, and somebody's kind of grifting my friend, and like Genevieve and I are like, no, don't do this, but my friend's trying to be like helpful to somebody who's hard on their luck, and he's telling the story, and the story gets more and more complicated, and you're just like, no, 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 but then the one person in your crew is going along too far. I don't know. It doesn't happen a lot, but especially as a younger person, as I was learning about the world a little bit in my 20s, you would get these moments where you give an inch and then the person starts like kind of taking advantage or something. And I just think that like we have to be very smart to make sure that like we never split up.
I mean, I can't imagine a scenario other than ZZ Top where we would ever split up.
Are ZZ Top still with us? Honestly.
I believe they are. And by the way, I couldn't like any kind of music less than the music of ZZ Top.
No, you like the bikini ladies that they hang out with.
I like that they do that one move. The guys in ZZ Top. Well, no, the guitar spins.
Yeah.
And then also they do this kind of like hand gesture where they kind of point in a direction.
Right.
All these, I feel like the ZZ Top videos, the Eliminator was always driving in like a dusty middle of nowhere. They pull up at like a gas station where there's a guy who works there, gets no respect from his boss. You know, just another white man being another white straight male being kept down by the system, by the oppressive system of total bees who do not let him just have a fun time.
This went to a weird place.
And then ZZ Top pulls up and his whole life changes. I'm just saying, if that happens to me, don't mess it up for me.
Can I ask you a question? When they then speed off with the employee and then the oppressive boss comes out and watches them drive by really quickly, does his hat spin around or does it get blown off in a cloud of dust?
No, he has a moment of reflection. He says, I should be nicer to my employees. This is exactly what happens.
I'm going to call my mom.
ZZ Top has come to liberate the underclass.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that video.
I'll show it to you on my phone while we're standing by the side of the road, waiting for somebody to pick us up. Hey, let's remind folks that we are in the midst of the TBTL-a-thon, and we need donations from all of you, the tens of listeners, if we are to continue doing the show. And we have some thank you gifts. By the way, you can go to tbtl.net and donate. If you are up for donating $5 a month, you can get a mug or a poster of the Pod Pets. If you can swing $10 a month, we have a TBTL hat, which is really cool. I cannot wait for these things to come out. I will be wearing one proudly. And I don't like wear swag usually associated with things that I work on because it feels – well, like at Livewire, they put my name on the T-shirts, which is very flattering but also creates some weird feelings for me. In wearing the T-shirt, but I'm going to wear this TBTL hot dog hat because it's so cool. Jeremy designed this hot dog. I think it's at the $20 level. You can get a T-shirt, right?
That's
the same.
Really cool too, because the big hot dog design, which has some intricate parts of it, because it's like a hot dog, it has many layers.
You might get a fingernail in there.
But it's like the T-shirt. I saw the mock-up of it. It's like a nice blue T-shirt, and then the design is nice and prominent right in it. It's really cool. Go to the website to check all these out, by the way.
And then if you jump up to the $50 a month level, that's Dazzling Donor. You'll get the hat, you'll get the T-shirt, and we will read your Dazzling Donor message on the show, which can be, by the way, an ad for your company or your business. You can settle a score if you want. Like, Andrew, if you were a Dazzling Donor, maybe your message would be, Tony, you were a real jerk to me about climbing on top of that half pipe.
It wasn't his fault, actually. I mean, it really wasn't. Like, it was actually a quarter pipe. I'm sorry. All of my stories, I exaggerate so much on the radio.
Like, is that the funniest thing to me? Okay, it was an eighth pipe.
Okay,
hash pipe.
It was actually a pipe fitting. Now, my friend Tony had. Let me just explain that really quickly. And we'll get back.
If you'd like to hear more stories like this, please go to tbtl.net and donate to the show so we can keep doing it.
What Emily pointed out? Emily, our TBTL-a-thon guru, I thought was really interesting. I'll tell you the Tony story in a second. But she sent a note today because I said, hey, if you hear anything that I'm saying, you know, let me know if you would tweak the message a little bit, because she understands this way better than I do, like the levels and how to donate and everything. And she said, you know, one thing you say is, you know, you're talking to your listeners and you're saying, if you like the show or if this, but she says, no, they do like the show. So it's,
damn it.
It's because you like the show.
And right.
It is
Ooh,
true.
That's
like,
better
because you're listening to the show right now and because you listen to the show, even when we're not on crazy ass adventures, and I know there are people out there who write in and they talk about how they listen to the show twice, once when they're falling asleep at night, but then again in the morning when they're puttering because they know that they missed a bunch once they fell asleep. You like the show. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, so.
And if I can polish our apple a little more, like, I've been talking about the listeners who met us at the bus station last night, which was just like, so it was just like the sweetest thing, and it made it feel like there are people out there listening to this, and we are, like, we're not insane. Like, this is a show that does mean stuff to people. And listener Kristen posted something on, again, I can't remember what social media it was, but I'm going to paraphrase here. She basically said, I hung out last night way too late with virtual strangers, right, who she knew just through the podcast and the internet. And then she said, and it was a really great time, and it was a good reminder for me to sort of push my comfort zone a little bit. And it had me thinking about the tens of listeners and the community of tens. And, like, you know, listener Stephanie and listener Kristen didn't know each other. They both lived here in the Kansas City area. But they were on Facebook, and they were saying, oh, my gosh, the guys got rerouted, and now they're coming to Kansas City. Should we go down to the bus station? I can't think of too many other shows where that would be a conversation that happened between, like, fans of the show.
Maybe Monk, but that's all I can think of.
What kind of disinfectant do you use? Do you go with Purell? To me, it's like, I am, for all of the self-deprecation that we apply to this show and to ourselves, which is totally just a coping mechanism for insecurity, for me anyway, I'm proud of this show, and what I'm really proud of is the listeners of this show, like the community of people who are currently terrified for us and who are looking out for each other and who are, you know, raise money, not just for this show, but sometimes for causes, sometimes for specific listeners who may be in a tight spot. Like, the community of people who love this show and now know each other because of this show and our friends, some of them virtually, some of them in real life. I'm so proud of that. I mean, Jen Flash Andrews gets a lot of credit for starting that ball rolling. She was just a great sort of community organizer of the tens of listeners. But, you know, we've kept it rolling. And like, that's – it's almost like I want TBTL to be here for a long, long time because I want to keep doing it for my job because it's fun and I like hanging out with you. But I don't want the tens community to ever go anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Because I just feel like it's this vibrant place where people – really feel supported, and so if you're somebody who loves being
because
part of,
you're somebody,
what's that?
Not if you're somebody, because you're somebody.
Oh, see, I got to get this. Like, what would you call that? How would you describe, like, the way that Emily wants us to talk about it versus the way we talk?
We
about
need
it?
To rewire our brains. To
oh
say,
God.
Yeah.
So yeah, because of how important the TBTL community is to you, this would be a great time to go to TBTL.net and help keep this whole thing going. All right, Andrew, were you going to say something else before I just – we don't have a ton
well,
of time. We got to talk to Kiki about Springfield, Missouri, and I got to tell you quickly about what's happening in Kirkwood, Missouri.
No, I have nothing – I was going to – you know, no, I have nothing more to say at all, actually, full stop. So you're going to need to get Jen back for the rest of this week.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Missouri news – a father and son have been accused of assault over a Pokemon Go dispute. Dateline Kirkwood, Missouri, a 71-year-old St. Louis man. 71. That seems old to play Pokemon Go. I don't want to tell 71-year-olds how to live their life, but, you know, my dad is 63, I think, maybe 64 now. He'd be at the edge, I think, of Pokemon Go age range. 71 just feels like an outlier to me.
Well, what modified reality app game do you think a 71-year-old should play? Augmented reality is the word I was looking for.
McDonald's coffee.
Right.
We didn't even get into that. We talked about that with the tens we hung out with last night. But maybe I don't think we have time today. But
no.
And I'm sure we'll have 8 million adventures between now and tomorrow's show. But suffice it to say, across from O'Hangry's, at the McDonald's, there was like a funny thing that played out between some Trumpers and a guy that we think was a never Trumper.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of old men drinking coffee in the
which
McDonald's.
Is the most old man move you can ever do. Black coffee at a McDonald's. How do you, whatever your age is, how do you walk into a McDonald's and not order any of the like fries or whatever. Yeah. Like that is a level of self-discipline that I will never have. I cannot go into McDonald's and order a coffee and sit there and drink it.
Right.
All right. So a 71-year-old St. Louis man and his adult son are charged with assault for allegedly beating up a Pokemon Go competitor who accused him of cheating. A bystander's video captured the skirmish Monday in Kirkwood. Charges were filed against Robert Matuzzi, and 31-year-old Angelo Matuzzi. They are jailed on $15,000 bail. A probable cause statement says that during a game of Pokemon Go, I guess it was a hunt technically, the victim thought the Matuzzis cheated and threw a Gatorade bottle into their car. Maybe he just wanted them to replenish their electrolytes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is thirsty work, friends, hunting for these Charmanders. Is that a Pokemon?
Yeah, I think so. That's the only one we know.
Still got it. And if you like timely references like that...
Because you like timely references like that.
Please support TBTL. The ultimate victim threw a Gatorade bottle into their car. Police say then Robert Matuzzi found the victim later and threw the bottle back at him, prompting a fight. The victim suffered facial cuts and an eye injury.
Facial cuts from the Gatorade bottle?
I think from the fight.
Oh, the fight. Of course.
After the Gatorade bottle was thrown. I mean, we did one Pokemon Go excursion out in Gasworks Park. I don't even know how you would know if somebody was cheating at Pokemon Go. And also, this was like a competitive hunt, I guess.
Sorry, my brain just went somewhere. Do you remember when Gatorade bottles were glass? I used to drink Gatorade out of glass bottles.
Oh,
remember that?
Shit.
It had the little, like, it was like the size of kind of a Snapple bottle, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And then most of the glass was kind of marbled or textured, then the lightning bolt was smooth up near the top. I can suddenly feel it.
That I completely forgot about. And it had a wide mouth.
Yes, it did.
So you could chug down. I was in L.A.
I mean, I know you're setting up this story to spend all that
time. No, that's it.
But I'm just like, holy shit, I totally forgot about that. And for some reason, I'm blown away.
Yeah. That was a different time, man. No, you're right. I totally forgot about that. Like, Gatorade always seemed... I feel like I make some version of this observation every show about something different. But Gatorade was the kind of thing that was like... It seemed sort of fancy to me as a kid. Like, you know, you're mostly just drinking water.
Yeah.
If you were exercising or whatever, like, you would drink some water. Like, but then there'd be the kid who had Gatorade. Like, their mom sent them with Gatorade to the soccer practice. And I'd just be like, wow, that kid is... First of all, they're going to be way better than me at this sport just because of their electrolytes.
Right, sure,
like,
yeah.
I thought it was, like, magic potion. And then there was Gatorade gum. Did you ever have the Gatorade chewing gum?
I didn't know that was around when we were kids. I only knew it more as... I thought it came around when everybody started bringing these kind of energy drinks.
No, I used to chew it when I played baseball.
Did it actually quench your thirst?
No, it made me more thirsty.
What was the point of it?
Who knows? But I just remember being like, well, if Gatorade is good for you... I mean, I completely 100% trusted the TV ads. I was like, if Gatorade is going to make me better at sports, Gatorade gum is going to make me even better.
You know what I chewed in the outfield? My mitt.
Me too.
You had one of those little strings hanging off the mitt.
And work
it, it
on
was,
that.
It was your go-to chewing string, and then it would just become like this... When it dried out, it became this hard spike pointing off your mitt.
And then you just have to go back at it. You have to re-soften it. I
didn't know that was universal.
My first year of real baseball, a season during which I never swung the bat the entire season.
You were just still. Are you still waiting for your pitch?
I just, you know what? It was a hitter's count.
Hey, good eye.
I played for the Greenwood Boys and Girls Club, and I was so petrified when I would. I wasn't afraid of the ball hitting me when I was batting. I was afraid that if I took a swing, I would strike out, but I knew these are kids. They're bad at pitching. There's a good chance they'll just walk me because they can't throw strikes. So I mean, I think my on-base percentage was off the charts.
For real, you did make it on base a lot.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I'd walk most of the time because, again, kids. But I remember also just being like out in like right field. No one ever hit the ball out there. I would do this move where I would throw my mitt in the air and see how many times I could spin around before the mitt came down.
This is during the game.
I haven't seen someone do that in a game since Nori Aoki did it for the Mariners 3 seasons ago, which is why I'm glad he's not our center fielder anymore. Like,
so when I played football, now I'm a little bit older here. I think I was playing 8th grade, no, 7th grade football or maybe ninth grade football. Those are the 2 years I played it. I was so bad that they didn't even assign me a number. I never played in any games. I think I had one play in one game where they threw me in as like left guard or something. And so every time I was just like one of many people on the sidelines just kind of milling about, and I had a different number every single time. And one time my mom said, as she's driving me home from the game, that she always knows which one is me. And I'm like, how do you even know which one is me? There's just tons of us on the sidelines, and I have a different number every time. She's like, oh, you're the one who's always playing with his face mask. So my mom would just like kind of pick me out because I just the whole game just fidget with my face mask because I couldn't take my helmet off on the sidelines. And I always thought, like, boy, what did my parents think of me when they saw me as a little turd on the sidelines? Meanwhile, I'm wondering what your family thought of you while you're out. Like, that is so much better. Just like, yeah, that's my boy. Oh, gee, he did four spins this time.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They never came to any of the games.
No, that's all right. The best part.
No, I mean, I was like, my whole, you know, I rode my bike to each and every practice, game, you know what I mean? Or like caught a ride if the game was farther away. Like I had to do a lot of kind of figuring it out. And then when I was in high school, my parents kind of got into coming to my basketball games because our team was sort of good.
How many spins did you do on the basketball court?
Too many. And then I got dizzy and threw up, and that's how I learned my lesson. So anyway, Pokemon Go.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
We actually, we have to call, if you can believe it, we have to call that good on our top story because
yeah, sorry,
we need to
really
get Kiki on the line.
That.
They're going to kick us out of this hotel room in not too long.
Oh, no.
And we need to get the what on Springfield MO. So can you dial up our official travel? The official travel coordinator of TBTL is one, Christina Lopez.
Hey, it's Christina.
Hey, Kiki, it's Luke and Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not a mucho. We are...
Hey, no, a lot's going on. We're hitchhiking across the country.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good point. A lot. Mucho. We're in Kansas City, Missouri, and we're going to try today to hitchhike to Springfield, Missouri. Have you done any advance work on Springfield? Do you know anything? Can you tell us anything about our now newly improvised next destination?
Yes, I have quite a few things to tell you about Springfield.
Oh, mucho ready? Things, sure.
Okay, so it is the third largest city in Missouri.
Okay, so comport ourselves thusly. Like, don't act like you're in the fourth largest city in Missouri.
Yeah.
Act like you're in the third largest city.
It's like in the top three. You guys, you know, really bring your game.
Okay, that's good.
It is actually known as the birthplace of Route 66.
Really?
I've been looking to get my kicks, and that's exactly the route for it. Oh, wow. So it actually starts in Springfield, I guess, and then heads west or something.
Yeah. So I think the final marker is like somewhere along Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles, actually.
Oh, man. That's what we should do next year, Andrew. We should unicycle Route 66 to actually, no, we should motorcycle with a sidecar Route 66 from Springfield, Missouri, to meet Kiki Lolo on the pier in Santa Monica.
My only question for you, though, is would you be comfortable in the sidecar?
Absolutely. I'm afraid to drive a motorcycle.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
Okay, I was wondering who was going to be in the sidecar. I thought that might be a battle, but it seems like you guys have sorted that out.
Oh, no. Andrew's driving the motorcycle. I'm riding in the sidecar. Okay, so what else about Springfield should we know if we get there? Which, by the way, I feel like is a low probability because it's like 200 miles from here. But
listen, I have faith. Okay, you just gotta really just set your intentions, and then the world will follow.
Ooh, that's a good affirmation. Also, we're gonna have a sign this time, which is a big upgrade.
Oh, that's a huge upgrade. Is it just like, what, you know what? Next time, maybe invest in a dry erase board. That way you can change the sign.
It's going to be a dry erase board when we go to Staples and get it.
Wonderful. So one really, really, well, I think it's funny fact about Springfield is that they have the world's largest fork.
What? That's up my alley?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's 35 feet tall and weighs 11 tons.
We got to make it there now. We can't, because we're talking about possibly if we could get the rides, bypass it, and go straight to Memphis. But no forking way am I going to miss that fork.
Easy, O'Grady. That is totally cool. The world's largest fork. You know, we got to tell Bean about that. That's so up his alley.
When we tell Bean about it, he will say, I know. It weighs 11 tons, and he will have other facts about it, probably.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it used to belong to, like, a restaurant, but now it's sitting outside an office park because it's in front of a firm that deals with a lot of food vendors. So it's kind of perfect for their office park.
And my brain is feverishly trying to create, a spork joke or a what would go with the – like, what you would eat with the world's largest fork, but I'm just kind of striking out. So – I'm gonna tap out on that attempted joke.
I did. I also just tried now for like 0.5 seconds, and I didn't have anything. So. I thought it was gonna be really witty on the uptake, but I'm not today. So,
listen, that has not stopped us from recording 2,666 episodes of the show. So don't beat yourself up. Okay, other Springfield dazzling deets.
Okay, so there's really There's a place called Johnny Morris's Wonders of Wildlife National Museum and Aquarium, and it's actually named after the person who founded Bass Pro.
Oh, right.
The fishing shop.
Yeah.
And it actually was just recently named America's Best Aquarium.
Oh, really?
Yes, according to USA Today.
The official, the most stepped over newspaper in America.
Yeah, that free newspaper you get when you check into a DoubleTree or something.
That's right. Have you ever been to a Bass Pro or a Cabela's or anything, Andrew?
No, not really. I used to go to sportsman shows a lot as a kid, though, because the Andy Mann grill that my dad was selling at the time.
Whoa.
You know about the Andy Mann. We've talked about this.
Okay, but I've forgotten it. It was named for you then, I guess.
Yeah, Andy Mann.
Okay.
So my uncle, how do I do this quickly? We're about to get kicked out of our hotel room.
No, this
too,
is
Kiki.
Worth it. Kiki, are you interested in this story? Because I am.
Yes, I'm down.
So my dad and my uncle ran, up until recently, a kind of a steel manufacturing. They didn't manufacture steel, but they were.
This is how the story gets too extended.
No, they ran a business where they made things out of steel. And so one of the things they decided to do was start a side company out of that, where they started making these grills that were kind of like kits. Instead of if you go to a football game and you'll see the guys who have a 55 barrel drum and cut like an oil drum sort of cut in half and turned into a grill. My dad and uncle said, well, what if we made kits so that you don't have to go to a scrapyard and find the stuff and put it together. You just buy it from us and you assemble it.
And it was a barrel. It started out as kind of a typical oil drum type.
At first they were doing that, and then they started actually fabricating like pieces that you could assemble to recreate the shape of a barrel so it could ship easier.
Was it a success?
It doesn't exist anymore.
And they named it Andy Mann.
And they called it Andy Mann, yeah, because it was like Handy Mann. It was like the logo is pretty cool. It was like kind of a very simple block drawing of a kind of a square-jawed guy. And I think in one hand he was holding a wrench and maybe in the other one a grilling fork or something.
And he was wearing a football helmet and he was fidgeting with his face mask.
Fidgeting the whole time.
That will make sense later, Kiki, if you listen to the show.
Okay.
Okay.
I do listen to the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Have you thought about donating? Have you considered supporting TBTL by going to TBTL.net?
Okay. Maybe I will.
No, you're supporting the show by being our travel coordinator and by working at the same company. Okay.
Yeah, I wonder. It's just like, am I putting money back into the company that pays me?
Yeah, that does complicate things. I would say use this as your in-kind donation, helping us know what we should do in the next town. Anything else about Springfield?
Yes, I want to get to the notable residents from there because I think this is really some of the top-notch talent that I've seen on your journey thus far.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt is from Springfield.
What? Really? I think yep. I might have known that and forgotten it, like the Andy Man grill. That vaguely rings a bell. Wow, Brad Pitt. Now
one
that's
more.
That's almost, he's like the Adam Devine of
yes.
Hollywood stardom.
Yes. Yeah, there's no other workaholics actors on this one, but there is also Kathleen Turner.
Oh, romancing the stone, right?
Yes.
Was she in that one, Kathleen Turner?
I'm more of a man with two brains, Kathleen
oh,
Turner.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Wow, Steve Martin, when they're in the rowboat?
Yep. And Sissy Spacek as the voice of the brain.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah.
Have I not seen this movie? This sounds right up my alley.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
What is the remind me of the
Griffith,
plot? What happens in that movie?
So basically, Steve Martin is a neurosurgeon, I think, and he meets like a mad scientist who has brains that are still cognizant and still working. And so he can hear the voice of one of the brains and he steals it and he falls in love with the voice of the brain.
Oh, yeah.
And all of this is happening while there's a serial killer on the loose who injects people with Windex because that makes the brain die last. And so those two plot points intermingle and there's hijinks that ensue.
That is, I'm gonna watch that movie when I get off the road. I'm seriously, I mean, like next week when I get back home, I'm watching that movie. I loved that movie when I was a kid.
It still holds up. Honestly, I've watched it fairly recently, and it still really holds up. And Kathleen Turner plays like a nightmare fiance for Steve Martin's character, and she's really funny. There's a lot of physical comedy in it too, and I was just so surprised because like it's so funny. You see these actresses in these funny roles, but then they don't keep going and. I don't know.
All right,
but it was a really great movie.
Okay,
next
so
one.
So any other things before because they are going to kick us out. So what's
yes.
In your final minute here? What do you want to tell us?
It's also the home of Bob Barker.
Oh man,
stay new to your pets.
Do you know that Bob Barker was born in Ferndale? No, he was born in Darrington, Washington, home of the Darrington Loggers high school basketball team, where my school, Jesus Creek, we used to play them, and their basketball thing was called the Logger Dome. That's where he's from. That's where he was born, but then did he grow up in Springfield or something?
Yeah, so in 1931 his family moved to Springfield where he graduated from high school.
Wow. Is he alive or not alive?
He's alive.
Bob Barker. Man, if you had him in your not dying pool, you just made a bunch of money because that guy's got to be, he's got to be up there.
He is 94 years old.
94 oh, wow. years young. I wonder if he's like, I wonder if he just is like still putting a golf ball to like, I always loved, that was my, well, Plinko was my favorite game on The Price is Right.
Oh, mine too.
But hole in one or two was also pretty good. But I always say that game existed so Bob Barker could show off his putting skills because he would always putt it before the contestant, and I was like, we know how this works. You don't have to demonstrate for us. And they would always have to hold the wand microphone while Bob Barker putted.
Those microphones are what I remember most from that show. Just like the aesthetic, it's so connected to that show. I can't think of other talk shows or anything else where you have a tiny little microphone like that. It was such a weird little
branding
thing.
It's like the Virginia Slims.
I know, they kept it. They like kept it. For
yeah.
All those years.
Does Drew Carey? I think Drew Carey probably still has a relatively thin microphone, right? I mean, it's kind of part of the whole aesthetic or whatever.
You know what? I don't know. It's been a while since I've actually watched The Price is Right.
I will tell you, Drew.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Drew Carey is not a bad new host of that show.
No.
I thought it was like, if it's not Bob Barker, it's trash. But like, he is legit pretty watchable, and the great elements of that show are still great. So all right, well, I think that we're gonna have to end it there, Keek, because
yep.
Again, we've now reached that magical hour of 1:30 p.m. Central Time, and they're going to yell at us. They specifically told us we can't stay until 2. So
okay.
We should wrap. But thank you so much. Okay, so hopefully if we get to Springfield today, then the next – on Thursday we're trying to get to Memphis. So that would be the next bit of research that we would love to get from you.
Okay, great. Well, let me know if you guys make it to Springfield so I can update the map.
Okay. Thank you, Kiki. And just, you know, consider donating. That's all.
Just think about it. You guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. You know, I promised we were going to do some V-mails, but now...
I don't think we have time.
I thought it was in V-mails, but there wasn't any V-mails.
Really quick thing. Kiki mentioned the map there. It is so cool. I'm enamored by it, especially now that we have actually gone off course a little bit, like we knew it was going to happen. So Kiki made a map, and you can go to tbtail.net and look at each day's show page, and you can see how we set out a certain course, and now Kiki is mapping where we're actually going and how they diverge, and hopefully we'll come back together, and then she is filling out each stop along the way with some of those dazzling details about the locations.
Oh, good.
It's one of the coolest damn things.
And by the way, if you see our progress just shooting west way too fast and way too long, we got on the wrong train.
Yeah.
We hopped the wrong train, and somebody called Burlington Northern.
Yes. Or nobody called Burlington Northern. Because I don't want to be hollered at.
Or one person kind of called Burlington Northern. I don't know. Just, you know what, use your smarts. And also, please follow your hearts when it comes to supporting TBTL. You've heard me make the pitch, you know, this week and even already this show. But if you're sort of, if you're on the fence, or if you've been thinking about doing it, but you want to wait until you have a little more time, it does not take very much time at all. And Andrew, also, you've mentioned this. If you're somebody who's been donating to the show, thank you so much. And you want to keep doing that. Look for an email from us which will give you instructions on how you can get your premiums, get your thank you gifts. You don't even have to do anything. You just let it roll, and that will qualify you to get the next batch of thank you gifts.
Right, but you do need to kind of choose those gifts and everything. So, and this is really important because for various technical reasons, some people who were subscribed to our various newsletters have stopped receiving them. If you are somebody who is currently donating to TBTL and you have not received an email telling you what you need to do to choose your new thank you gifts, email me, Andrew@tbtl.net, and I will forward you to the folks at APM. They've been like, we probably helped out 10 to 20 people yesterday, so we are taking care of you. Just email me, Andrew@tbtl.net.
Or email me, Luke@andymangrill.com.
That's taken.
All right, that's gonna do it. I guess we had an idea for, well, I don't know what the show title is going to be. We can talk about that. But I like it. The Rick Springfield, as we try to get to Springfield, Missouri. I guess the next time we rap at you, we'll all know if we made it or not. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. Thank you for donating at tbtl.net. And enjoy, I guess, the rest of your, what is it today, a Wednesday?
Wednesday, I can't believe it.
Enjoy your Wednesday. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Ooh, hit that post. The charade, there doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night.
Power out.